Our scripture passage this morning is Mark chapter 8, verses 14 through 21. Mark chapter 8, verses 14 through 21. If you would stand this morning for the reading of God's word. The disciples had forgotten to bring bread, except for one loaf they had with them in the boat. "Be careful," Jesus warned them. "Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod." They discussed this with one another and said, "It is because we have no bread." Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, "Why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets of pieces did you pick up?" 12, they replied. "And when I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up?" They answered, 7. He said to them, "Do you still not understand?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Bread has 3 essential ingredients in it: water, flour, and yeast. You need the 3 of those, and oftentimes bread will have a few other ingredients, but those 3 of water, flour, and yeast are essential for making bread. You can't really make bread without those 3 ingredients, or at least the bread you make won't fluff up and become that nice, soft, squishy bread that you enjoy having. It won't have those air pockets, those bubbles in it. When you slice it open, it'll be kind of a thick, dense brick if it doesn't have the right leavening agents in it. Oftentimes, at the Youngquist house on Friday evenings, it'll be pizza night, and more often than not, we'll make the pizza at home. We'll start sometime in the afternoon by making the crust and adding all those ingredients into it. Measuring out the water, measuring out the flour, making sure the yeast is in it, and some sugar and salt and olive oil, all those ingredients that you need for a good pizza crust. But one of those times that I was putting together the dough and making it, the yeast packet that I took out from the cupboard, I didn't check the date on it. And as I was mixing everything together and getting it, it wasn't quite fluffing up as it normally does, and I was kind of hoping that it would, so I put it on the counter there, and supposed to rise within an hour or so. I go back to it in an hour, and it's still kind of the same that it was before, and yeah, maybe it needs a little bit more time. So I leave it for another hour and go back to it, and it's about the same lump that it was when I started. I thought, it's pizza. We'll just have kind of a thin crust tonight. And it was edible. It wasn't the best thing ever once we made the pizza with it. It was a little bit more dense than usual. And there wasn't those air pockets in it. Wasn't quite the pizza dough that you wanted. That's when I realized that I should probably check the date code on those packets of yeast before I do anything with it, because if you don't have that leavening agent, you won't have a very good final product if you're going for that nice fluffy loaf of bread. It can be like that in our lives as well. We have those essential ingredients that make up our life. Our work, our family, all of those things. And if we don't have the right leavening agent or an agent that lives in us, that causes us to grow as human beings, that we might kind of stay in the same place, or we might grow in a way that doesn't taste very good, like a yeast that's gone bad or a leavening agent that's gone bad. And Jesus here in this passage is talking about watching out for the ideas that you want to grow or mature in your life. The disciples, they don't quite get it yet from this passage. Jesus is getting a bit frustrated with his disciples because at this point in his ministry, he's starting to focus in on going to Jerusalem and doing what he came to earth to do. He's been around Galilee. He's preached there for quite some time. Followers are gathering around him like they always do. But Jesus knows his ministry is coming to an end. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, they're all kind of trying to get him caught in some type of heresy or some type of blasphemy so that they're able to write him off and crucify him. He knows his time is coming in Jerusalem, and he wants to make sure that his disciples know what is coming. He knows that they're the ones that are going to have to spread this good news after he's gone. And there they are sitting in a boat one day, and they find out they only have one loaf of bread in that boat, which is fairly ironic because just a few verses before this in chapter 8, Jesus feeds 4,000 people. And it says that after the feeding of those 4,000 people, that the disciples had 7 basketfuls of bread left over. And now they're in the boat. They're probably hungry as they're paddling their way across the Sea of Galilee. They only have this one loaf. What happened to the other 7 basketfuls of bread that they had? Maybe they gave it away before, thinking that they wouldn't need it. And now they're looking at themselves saying, hey, we're pretty hungry here, and what are we going to do? Maybe we can ask Jesus to do what he's been doing with the 5,000 and the 4,000. Maybe we can ask him to multiply this bread so that we might have a decent meal as we're going across the lake. Jesus overhears this conversation the disciples are having, and he uses it as a teaching moment, as Jesus normally does in these situations. And at face value, it's a bit odd what Jesus says. Another thing that Jesus likes doing is saying one thing in response that isn't a direct answer to what the question was, but gets really at the heart of the issue. Disciples were hungry. They were looking for a meal, and they were hoping that maybe Jesus could provide a meal magically, as he had before, or miraculously, if that's a word. Jesus knows that this issue needs to be addressed that the disciples had. You see, right before this, the Pharisees had come to Jesus again. The Pharisees were demanding that Jesus show them some sign that he is the Messiah. Jesus somewhat famously says, "You sinful generation, you're never going to understand who I am." The Pharisees were asking for the sign that he is the true Messiah, but Jesus knows that any sign he could give to them wouldn't be good enough for them to understand who he was, because if they don't get it at this point, they're probably not going to get it, because he's shown who he is through all these miracles that he's done. He's healing of lame, giving sight to the blind. If they're not getting it at this point, whatever miraculous sign that they're calling for, it's not going to help them understand who Jesus is. In the same way, without knowing it, the disciples are asking that same thing of Jesus. would you go over here and make this bread multiply so that we might have a meal? Let's see what you can do as Jesus, as this Messiah, as this great leader that we've been following. Jesus, disappointed by this, gets frustrated. Kind of like, wake up, disciples. Realize what you're asking of me. The yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod aren't going to help you. It's not going to give you that leavening agent that's going to grow and sustain your life. The Pharisees are calling for something that's impossible to live by into the law that they've set up and all those regulations and traditions that we talked about last week. None of that is going to give you the life that you desire. And calling on me to give you what you desire, that isn't going to grow you in the ways that you think it is. It's a bad leavening agent. He adds Herod into the mix and says, the yeast of Herod, be weary of it. This idea that Herod is this God figure brought down to man to govern over his people by earthly political rule, that system, that way of living, looking to those political figures for salvation, that's yeast. That is bad as well. It won't give you the life that you think it will. So Jesus takes this everyday item that they had around, this bread, who they knew how to make it. It was the main sustenance for their bodies. It says, beware of that thing that causes bread to be that enjoyable meal. Beware of those ideologies that are around you and at work. Make sure that you don't fall into one that won't give you and sustain your life, give you the fullness that you long for and desire. He goes on after he says, beware of that leavening agent, the yeast of the Pharisees and of Herod. They're not getting it. They still think he's talking about bread. They're wondering if they're getting this because they forgot to bring bread on the boat, or they didn't bring bread on the boat. Jesus, aware of their discussing still the physical piece of bread there in the boat, rather than this analogy that he's creating around these leavening agents in one's life that grows and sustains us. He says, why are you talking about having no bread? That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about something deeper, that desire that you have for me to perform this miracle for you, like the Pharisees or like Herod, the receiving rather than giving. Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear? Verse 18 there, where it says, do you have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear, is a quote from the book of Jeremiah. When God is giving down condemnation among his people because they have gone their own way and desire their own goodness over and above the other people around them. They had forgotten their mission as God's people to be a light to the nations. They had kind of given religion to themselves, put them at the center of it. And Jesus is saying the same things of the disciples. Are you so self-centered in all of this that you just desire me to be kind of a vending machine of gifts, of food? Jesus is bigger than just a divine gift giver. that he desires growth. He desires to form us and shape us into the people that he created us to be. The disciples were thinking from scarcity that we only have one loaf and we have to do something with this. We're hoping that Jesus can give us more. Jesus has said, haven't you missed the point of these last two feedings that you've witnessed within the last week, probably? This feeding of the 5,000 where you just had five loaves and two fishes and we broke it and gave it to all those people and you had 12 basketfuls afterwards. Or what about that one that you just witnessed probably earlier that day, the feeding of the 4,000? Started out with a handful of loaves and seven basketfuls at the end of that. Are you not getting the picture of what I'm doing here? That Jesus is growing and cultivating this new way of life. It's not based on the scarcity. It's based on his abundance. That his kingdom will be a kingdom that looks like no other. It won't be a system like the Pharisees of good and bad, and you have to make sure that you stay in the right place at the right time and do the right motions. It's not going to be like Herod, where it's this political figure that's going to save you. But my kingdom is going to start. Just like that little yeast that you put into bread, it's going to grow, expand, give plenty. It may just be a handful of disciples at the beginning, but I'm going to do something, show you something, that out of those few will become a kingdom of many, many followers. I can't do that on the Pharisees' system. Can't do that on Herod's system. I'm doing something new. I'm going to use you to grow my kingdom and bring about this goodness that I've been showing to you by the multiplication of these loaves into a meal for thousands. We don't really have how the disciples respond to that. They're probably still figuring out if he's talking about that loaf of bread they have in the boat or not. It's kind of hard for us to wrap our minds around what Jesus is getting at here in this passage. But he's contrasting himself in between the ways that we think we might grow or the ways that we think will bring out abundance in our life. That Jesus is saying those things, those ways that the world tries to do it, those ways that the Pharisees or those that follow Herod try to do it, that yeast, it won't rise, it won't give life like you hope it will. You have to look to me to receive true life. So as we look around our world today, as we see all of these competing ideologies about what will bring us the good life, what will grow us, what will bring us those achievements that we desire, Jesus stands in contrast to all of those. Jesus welcomes us to step back from those ideologies and into his grace and goodness. That if we desire the yeast that will truly grow us as his followers, his disciples, his people, and grow his kingdom, we must look to how Jesus acted, how he lived. More often than not, Jesus wasn't looking for fame or attention. He was just looking to be faithful in the mission that God had given to him. that as those crowds gathered around him, Jesus more often than not tried to get away from them because he knew that that wasn't the way that was going to bring about salvation for the people. It was his obedience to God and the mission that he had. That he was going around, he was healing, he was showing these miracles so that the people might understand who he was as the Messiah, but he knew that ultimately he would have to go to the cross, and he's starting to prepare for that moment as he's preparing these disciples to be the bread that will go out and feed the world with his body and his blood. Jesus knows the cross is coming. He desires the disciples not to see that as a defeat, but to see it as a victory. That even though in our human understanding, when we think crucifixion, we think defeat. But in that moment of defeat, Jesus gave us the yeast that grows our life, this death that he experienced is the leavening agent that gives us new life. That all the other leavening agents that we see in our world, all those other ways that we think will bring us success, will ultimately fail. It's through Christ's death that we have life. It's through Christ's death that he imputes to us this agent, this leavening agent that grows and sustains us. And it looks different from the world. That as Paul later says in the New Testament, that there will be fruit that you will bear if you grow in and walk with Jesus. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. These are all signs that you're growing, experiencing Christ's leavening agents in your life. Look to those fruits as the achievement in this life, as the way to know that you're on the right path. That you may not be successful in business, because living by the fruits of the Spirit may cause you to not do things in business that would grow them from a worldly standpoint. But remember, God's kingdom is not of this world. It's not through the way of the Pharisees or the way of Herod, but it's through the way of Christ. Through his death, we have the leavening agent that brings about life. Would you pray with me? Father, we're thankful. We're thankful that you have given us Christ Jesus to be the author, sustainer of life. And God, we're thankful that you have given us the Gospels, that these teaching moments that you had with your disciples, that they're also teaching moments for us as well, that we have a hard time understanding. We have a hard time living into the disciples that you would have us to be, just as your original first 12 did. And God, sometimes we miss the metaphors, the illustrations that you use to teach us. But God, in those moments, we're thankful that Christ not only taught, but he also came to serve and to die for us. God, we're thankful that through his death and resurrection, that it brings life to us, that we can have new life, have it abundantly, and grow and walk with you because of Christ and his crucifixion. It's in that grace that we pray this morning. Amen.